That's right. It is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Chase McCabe live at Drake's in Cool Springs. I have to correct our open a little bit. It is Titans All-Pro punter Brett Kern that is our special guest tonight. Brett, thanks for coming in, man.
Awesome. I appreciate it. This is going to be a fun night.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're going to mix a little hockey, a little football. Obviously, yep. The Titans and the Preds, close relationship between you players, and we've seen some fun times over the years of a couple of your teammates that, you know, like to have a beer or two.
Just a couple with a catfish mixed in. Yeah.
But I want to start things off with, we all know what happened early yesterday morning, late Monday night, the tornadoes that hit our area, not only East Nashville, but John Toon and Germantown and Putnam County, Donelson, and all over. Just absolutely crazy to see the destruction. But one thing that you've learned in your about 10 years here in Nashville is we all come together. We're the volunteer state for sure. And to see the outpouring of support for people has been really cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, my thoughts and prayers are out to all the victims. You know, there's a lot of people that lost everything.
Yeah.
Looking at some of those pictures. And my brother-in-law, he works for Metro Police. And, you know, he sent me some pictures today. And it's just, man, just makes you thankful, you know, to wake up. You know, I still have a house, still have, you know, healthy kids. And so, Tuesday on the day off for the kids, they had no school because of voting, and we all just hopped in the truck, went to Costco, loaded it up much as I could, and we went down and dropped it all off, and you know, hopefully be able to get out there this weekend to help out.
Well, and you also, you and I were talking about this too, of you look at the areas and everybody is affected, and I heard somebody say this earlier, and I can't remember who it was, but tornadoes don't know anything about, you know, economics, and
they
don't know how
care.
Much money you make and all that. So whatever people can do to help, it's all much appreciated. Your organization, the Tennessee Titans, donated $1 million to tornado relief. The NFL Foundation has added $250,000 as well.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So just to see the support around the league and you know, not just with the Titans. I mean, last night the Predators were in Minnesota, Craig Leopold, the original owner of the Predators, donated $50,000. The Wild donated $50,000. So all of that money that is coming in can help everybody with the rebuild and you know, just starting over in some senses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whether you can give, that's great. Whether you have time to go down there and serve and just help people clean up, you know, the amount of trees that are down on people's houses, blocking driveways, on cars, you know, it's going to take a while. And to see how Nashville and really Middle Tennessee responded after the floods, you know, it's going to happen again. We're, you know, we are the volunteer state. Just a lot of great, we'll give you the shirt off your back people in this community that will do whatever. I know we're going to come back stronger, and I'm looking forward to getting down there and just helping out, meeting some people, encourage people, and just kind of get to work and help them clean up.
Now, you're from Buffalo, but like I said, you've been with the somebody like that.
There's a clap.
Buffalo.
There's a clap. Yeah.
So you're from there, but you've lived here almost 10 years since you've been with the Titans. This is home. I mean, this is where you stay during the off season, and you and your wife and your kids. So the community, though, and I know you do a lot, you guys as an organization, but players individually like having their initiatives as well. What are some things that you do? Because I always find that fascinating to ask a player, like, what they do in the community.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty involved with Derek and the crew over at Project 615.
Yeah.
We did a pretty cool campaign. They wanted to get me on a T-shirt for a while, and that's just kind of not my style. But the shirt, you know, it did well. Sold a lot of shirts, and you know, that went to Carpenter Square. You know, I try to do some stuff with Second Harvest Food Bank, the Nashville Rescue Mission. You know, do some stuff, especially in our church, which is really cool. Some of the things that they're starting to do. So really, anything around town, I just love to help. Just love to serve.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm necessarily affiliated with a foundation or anything like that, but you know, if it's for a good cause and it's helping people out, I'm there.
Why do you think, you know, so many athletes either that played for the Titans or the Preds, and we have Nashville SC now, but they either stay here when they retire,
right,
or you have other sports, like a ton of baseball players live here.
Right.
They retire and they move here. What is it about Nashville that, you think draws so many athletes, whether they're still playing or when they're done?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I know we'll be one of those people that stay here when football's done. I think it's just a great community. You know, Nashville's a very welcoming community. It's unique. You know, I always tell people when they come down, hey, where's a good place to eat? And not, you know, any of the 10 places I give them, it's not a chain restaurant.
Right.
It's all unique local restaurants where you can go and kind of hang out. And, you know, like I said, the people are great. Schools are great. Community's great. You know, I ran into George Kittle at the game on Saturday night. And I said, hey, man, why'd you choose Nashville? And he goes, have you ever been to Iowa? So, you know, he's down here training with some guys. And, you know, I think it's just a fun city. There's always something to do. Preds games are a blast to go to. Now that we got Nashville SC games to go to, you know, it's fun. There's just fun things to do.
Yeah, I was walking through Bridgestone Arena one night, and it was with one of my friends, and I'm not paying attention. I'm just walking, and all of a sudden I hear her go, that's George Kittle. I'm like, what? And I'm like, what's he doing here?
I know. My son was excited to meet him. You know, he's been able to, you know, with the Pro Bowl the past 3 years, he's been able to tag along with me, and he's met, you know, some of his favorite players and guys. And so he knew. He's the one that tapped me on the shoulder and was like, hey, Dad, you know, George Kittle's over there. I said, all right, let's go say hi. So, yeah, it's crazy. We went to a place. I'm not one. You know, we live in Franklin, so we're not. You know, we're not one to go downtown a lot with traffic and all that kind of stuff. But you know, we found a couple places down there that we love to go to. The 16-bit arcade, that little duck bowling. Introduced that to my kids, and they love that. So
they didn't want to leave.
Nope.
When you're at something like the Pro Bowl, and you know, families get to come there. I've talked to the Preds about this with the Winter Classic, getting to intermingle and everything. Is it kind of fun for you because you can let them be a fan? Because even though your dad and dad, you know, plays football and that's his job, they still have that, oh, it's George Kittle or Pat Mahomes or whoever. Is that kind of fun to let them experience that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, for my son to come in the locker room and immediately Lamar said, hey, you know let's play catch. And so he's playing catch with Lamar Jackson. And, you know, then Deshaun Watson comes in and starts throwing him with him too. So, I mean, he's a huge fan. You know, he's 10 years old, so he obviously understands everything that's going on. And he asked for a Patrick Mahomes jersey for Christmas, and I gave it to him. So he's got a Mahomes jersey. So
maybe shouldn't wear it for a while. But, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean,
we're going to take this away for a little bit.
Yeah, he's just a fan of the game, so you know, which I love. And he just has a blast down there at Orlando hanging out with some of those guys.
So you brought up the Preds and going to Preds games. Obviously, this is Smashville Live. So through the runs they've had in the playoffs, you guys all being there, we mentioned Mariota and then the offensive line on the band stage, and I know the DBs have been there and shown. It's really cool to see how you guys go support them and then they come and support you guys as well. I know I talked to Roman Yossi when you were about to play in the AFC title game, and he was all about it. And they had all gathered around in Winnipeg to watch the game against Baltimore and try and bring that support. It's cool to see athletes supporting each other.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, that our playoff run felt a lot like what they did when they went to the Stanley Cup. You know, just kind of sneaking in there in that eighth spot. And, you know, we obviously got the last spot. So, you know, obviously they went and made it to the Stanley Cups. We were just a game short of going to the Super Bowl. But, you know, it was really cool to see you know, the city and how they, you know, how they reacted when the Preds, you know, went to the Stanley Cup, and then how far we were getting when we went to the AFC Championship. And so it's cool to be able to support guys, because to be able to experience it as an athlete, you know, kind of what they're going through, their emotions, you know, how nervous you might be, and you're just rooting for them. You want them to do well. You want the city to do well, and you want to make all your fans that are around proud of kind of the product you're putting on the field.
He is Titans All-Pro punter Brett Kern. He's here with us on Smashville Live. We're live at Drake's in Cool Springs tonight, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the magical season that the Tennessee Titans had. We'll do that next. ESPN 102.5, The Game. It is Smashville Live. We're at Drake's in Cool Springs. Chase McCabe with Titans All-Pro punter Brett Kern, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Appreciate Brett for joining us tonight. We're talking some football, talking some hockey, talking a little bit of everything. We'll get some soccer in. as well. But you guys had a magical run.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you know, when you got here today, you and I were talking about it, and it gave us a lot as sports talk hosts to talk about. But it was, you know, as somebody that grew up here, grew up a Titans fan, I remember 1999. I remember the run to the Super Bowl, and to see it all, you know, even though just a little bit short to get into the big game, it was still fun to see you guys put it all together. And I know as a group, you got very close. And I could tell that it was similar to that of the Preds of 16-17 of just how close that room really was.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, you know, I've been here for a long time, and this is probably the closest locker room environment that I've had. You know, just the way our locker room is set up, you're set up based on your position group. And to come in there, you know, at 6:30 in the morning, after practice, just after meetings, and to see guys, you know, that are at their locker, but they're not just at their position group. They're over talking, O-line is talking to linebackers, and, you know, we might be talking to wide receivers, having a conversation, and it's just, you know, it's a really, really close-knit group of guys. And so, you know, we started out a little rough, but I think we all knew what we were capable of. And, you know, our goal was obviously to try to win the division. We came up short, but we just needed to get in the playoffs. You know, Vrabel kept talking about you just got to get in and then let it happen. So, but, you know, once we got in, we knew that we could take this thing as far as we wanted to. And you know, obviously just to come up a game short was pretty tough. But, you know, it's definitely a lot to build off of.
We get to do our shows from training camp, which is cool. And Jarrell Casey, that you've played with for a long time, has been here for a long time, sat down with us. And he's always very honest. And that's what I always appreciate that.
Jarrell is very honest.
I mean, and he brought up the fact that there was so much excitement going into camp about what this roster looked like, what John Robinson, J-Rob, has built.
Right.
Vrabel's second year, you know, expectations for Marcus. But Tannehill in there is... You know, who knows what that's going to be? And we didn't know that at the time. Derrick Henry taking other steps. And there was a lot of – and then the defense, you know, Dean Pease's defense. Dean Pease was back.
Yeah.
And so he – I just remember him looking at us saying, you know, early in my career, I did a lot of losing. We did as an organization.
We did.
I mean, we were in a different place and going through coaching changes and you know, different things like that. To see you guys get to the point that you did – albeit still, you still have goals. You still have things you want to do. I know for somebody like you that's been here as long as you have, that had to feel good to know where you were to where you are now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those seasons, you know, I've been through five coaches here from starting with Coach Fisher, you know, to Coach Munchak, to, you know, Coach Wisenhunt, Malarkey, and then, you know, Coach Vrabel. So it's hard. It's hard to go through coaching change. You know, somebody comes in, they bring in their own coaching staff. You're starting to learn new coaches again. You know, how they operate, how they run their meetings, their expectations, how they communicate with you. There's so many things that go on when you get a new coach, and it's tough. I mean, you know, those years we went 2-14 and 3-13. Those were days where you'd wake up and you really thought, is it worth going into work today?
Yeah.
It's tough. And so to be able to go from that to what we did this year, to see the excitement that we had, really, more or less, I feel like the fans deserved it. You know, especially in those years where not a lot of people go to the games. I mean, it was brutal,
right?
You know, to give them something to be excited about, something to look forward to, something to build upon. That definitely gives you some juice when you're going out there ready to play.
It, you know, what's funny is because you bring that up of weren't a lot of people there. When I was young and everything had first started, I didn't go to my first Titans game I went to one at Vanderbilt when it was the Oilers, but I didn't go to my first game at Nissan Stadium, then Adelphia Coliseum, until like the 2001 season because you couldn't get a ticket.
I mean,
playoffs, regular season, preseason, it didn't matter. You could not get a ticket to that place. And, you know, winning does a lot of that, but it was also early and building a fan base and people were really excited. Now it feels like a lot of that excitement is back. And with the run you guys had and you know, it's going to be an active offseason and getting guys re-signed and trying to do it all over again. But I think there's so much excitement now with you guys, and that's cool to see.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you go back to those early 2000 years, you know, you had your core players. You had Steve McNair, Eddie George. You know, you had a lot of guys that were pillars on that team. And I feel like – with this team that we had, and you know, with what J-Rob's done and Coach Vrabel's done, that we're starting to get new pillars,
yes,
you know, of this generation for the younger Titans fans, guys, you know, Kevin Byard, Jarrell Casey, Jayon Brown. I mean, I could go on and on with guys that you know, are going to be here for a while, and so we'll see what happens in free agency. I'm excited just to see what happens, and I know that you know, J-Rob and Vrabel and everybody upstairs is doing their best to make us the best team possible, and to build off of, like I said, from last year.
One thing that, and you know, I have the opportunity to talk to Floyd Reese every day, which is cool, so you can kind of pick his brain and talk about the old days, but he brought this up earlier that in those days, the early 2000s, he and Jeff Fisher had a really good relationship and were doing things together. The team, you could tell the front office and the coaches and everybody all got along. It feels like that is definitely apparent in your situation now.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when I was in Denver, you know, my first year and a half, players weren't allowed to go upstairs.
Wow.
So, you know, that kind of created an environment that, you know, especially as a young player, I was a little uncomfortable. But here, it's you know, totally different. Everybody, you know, we all have meals together. Guys are sitting at the table together. You know, Coach Vrabel talks about, you know, being a family. What are you going to do for your family? And really, when you walk into that building, everybody knows everybody. And, you know, you can sit down and have lunch with somebody. You know, it's not just one of your teammates. So it could be one of the media personnel. It could be anybody, you name it. And so I really feel like it's a tight-knit group over there, and you can, and that allows you, at least for me personally, to just kind of relax. Like you feel like you're at home. You know, there's not a lot of tension, and it creates a good work environment.
We talked about how tight the locker room was, and you know, through the course of a 16-game season, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs.
Yeah.
And you know, when you make a trade for another quarterback, it's going to raise questions. And going into the season, Marcus was the guy, was the starter. Ryan ends up taking it over. But what I noticed is Marcus showed that he's a good teammate and was trying to help Ryan. Was like, hey,
yeah,
you know, this is what it is. I'm going to help you, you know, help this team win. And I felt like it was that way when Ryan was the backup. But what was it like just kind of being around that when, hey, they came in, Vrabel comes in, we're making a change, Ryan's going to be the starter, we're going to see what happens, and then we all know where it went. What was that like in the room?
Yeah, I mean, you know, both of their lockers are right next to mine.
Yeah.
You know, I was next to Ryan this year, and then Logan Woodside, and then Marcus. So I'm right next to the quarterbacks, and so I'm able to talk to them every day, interact with them, see how they interact with each other. You know, Marcus will, you know, whenever I'm done with football, whenever that is, Marcus will go down as one of my favorite teammates I've ever had. Just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and,
yeah,
and doesn't say anything bad about anybody. Even if, like, I've never seen Marcus mad. I've never seen him. I've tried to get him mad. I just want to see him mad. But he's a great, great guy, a great teammate. And you know, that's just, it's unfortunate, kind of how that went down for him. But I mean, that's football.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the way it goes. And but he was there to help Ryan out, to encourage him. And even when Marcus was playing, Ryan was there helping him out, encouraging him. They had those three guys. It was a really good quarterback room.
Why do you think it worked so well between Arthur Smith, the OC, and Ryan once he took over? Because you have a rookie play caller, albeit he's been there, he's been with the organization, but he's trying to figure it all out. Now you're making a quarterback change, but for whatever reason, it was seamless and it clicked.
Right. Well, without really knowing the X's and O's, and I see Ryan and those quarterbacks carry that massive binder of plays. I kind of stay away from it. But
well, you ran a couple.
Yeah, mine was mine. Look, I either punt left or I punt right. I mean, my playbook is very short and limited. You know, a lot of times it's all about just the right place, the right time, with the right fit, with the right coach. I know it sounds like a lot kind of coming together, but you see it a lot in the draft. You know, you get, you know, for example, you take Patrick Mahomes. You know, he probably would have gone a little bit higher, but he went to the right place, the
yep,
right time, didn't have to start, with the right coach, and he had time to do what he did in the right system. So it's kind of like all those things kind of have to mesh together. And sometimes, you know, I feel bad for Marcus because he was going through some coaching changes and,
sure,
you know, coordinator changes. And that's a lot just to just to have a change in a coach and understanding their personality and how they coach and how they operate, let alone a whole new offensive system. So, I mean, that was tough for him. But like I said, I mean, it's just, you know, Ryan was in the right place, the right situation. You know, him and Arthur obviously mesh well together at the right time, and you kind of see the fruit of it.
So take me through the mind of a punter that's standing on the sideline. You're watching an offensive drive. It's third down. You don't get it. Fourth down. You think you're going in to do your normal job, and they tell you, hey, we're going to – whatever the play call is that tells you it's a fake, and you got to do something, because we've seen that. We've seen it happen. We've seen it work. We've seen it not work.
Well, we've definitely seen it not work.
But, hey, it happens. Yeah. But what kind of goes through your mind when you get that call, like, uh-oh, here we go?
No, I mean – you know, I'm excited usually to get that call. Some of the fakes I'm like all on board for. Like, I know this is going to work. You know, we've been practicing them for some of them. You know, you could be practicing for a whole year, maybe even going back to last season.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had a lot of reps at them. Because, I mean, it's not like I'm throwing the ball every day, you know, understanding defensive concepts and routes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, for me, fake punts are pretty simple. So just the more repetition I get with them, the more timing, the more comfortable I feel. So some I feel really great about, and I go out there, I'm like, this is like the pass to KB.
Yep.
Didn't even think about it. Just, we practiced that enough, I was good to go. Even the run against Tampa, we've been practicing that for a year and a half, and the linebacker just made an unbelievable play. So, I mean, that just kind of is what it is.
I was nervous for you on that one.
I tell you what, I was not nervous for that one bit. I thought, this is the perfect situation. We're winning the game, fourth and short. I just follow Taylor Lewan off his block, and I'm good to go for a first down, maybe score a touchdown. So kind of didn't work out that way, but I just feel bad. I didn't tell my wife. I usually tell her before every game maybe what fakes are up, just so she's aware. And that game, I forgot to tell her about that one. So I about gave her a heart attack.
So did she get in trouble? She didn't know?
No. She just glad I was okay. You know? We've been together since college, and she's seen me play a lot of football games, and I think she was just glad that I was good.
So Vrabel has shown us, and I like this. I mean, he's got the player's mentality of, and the player will always be, let's go, let's do it, let's go for it, you know. And that rubs off on you guys, because you can tell his personality is a part of this team. But I do like the fact that he's willing to risk it sometimes. Yep. And, you know, whether it's a fake punt or just going for it flat out on fourth down, I mean, he's trying to do his best to win football games. And I think that that's the mentality that the players have too.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I love about Coach is, you know, he communicates what he wants to do, and he does it. There's no second guessing. Even if there might be in his head, it doesn't come across in any way, shape, or form. So, like, in the team meeting, you know, the AFC Championship game that Saturday night, he told us, hey, look, we are going to run this fake punt. We are going to run it at some point in the game. Offense, don't even go to the heaters, because we're going to get the first down, and this is what we're going to do. Like, we're going to run it. So you knew, okay, at some point, if we get this look, we're going to run it. And, I mean, obviously it took a while to get to the look that we needed, but we went out and ran the fake punt.
And that one worked.
And it worked.
So Brett Kern is our guest, and I have a few more questions on this season when we come back. But all brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. It is Smashville Live. We're live at Drake's in Cool Springs on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Smashville Live, Drake's in Cool Springs. It's all presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Chase McCabe with Titans All-Pro punter Brett Kern. He's been nice enough to be my guest tonight as we talk a little football, a little hockey, and you know, breaking down the magical season that you guys had, the run to the AFC title game. The fake punt stuff always fascinates me, because, you know, when I play Madden, it's like you can run it on Madden, but it's a little different when it's a real game. But you guys have been able to make it all work. But looking at your head coach again and some of the personality traits, did you see a big difference in him between year one and year two?
Yeah, I think so. I think
besides the mustache?
Yeah. I think first year you're just trying to feel out kind of how he runs things, you know, his expectations, you know, what he likes to see on the field, you know, even little things like when you get onto the field, normally you might walk to your spot. Nope, you got to be jogging. Let's go. Yeah. Hey, we need sense of urgency. Let's, you know, little things. How he runs practice, how he runs meetings. So you're trying to get a feel of that. And I think, you know, him, you know, being a first year head coach, he's also trying to figure that stuff out too. Trying to get to know his players.
Right.
You know, some players feed off encouragement. Other players feed off, you know, being yelled at, being, you know, challenged, whatever. There's every player's different. So I think, you know, he's trying to figure that out. And so, you know, going into the second year, we really didn't have much roster turnover, which was pretty rare. Usually you have a lot, and we didn't have a lot. So a lot of the same players were coming back. And I think you understood the expectations. You knew how he ran his team meetings. And I think it just went a little bit smoother. So looking forward to another year.
For you personally, you get the All-Pro honor, which I know Pro Bowl, obviously a big honor as well. You've done that, but to have that, what was that like?
That was pretty cool. You know, it's definitely one of the goals when I first came into the league to try to get to a Pro Bowl, to try to be All-Pro. So that was a really, really cool honor. It's a huge blessing to be able to receive that, knowing that that's what, you know, people think of what you do on the field. And, you know, but I think probably the thing I'm most proud about is, you know, like I said, playing for five head coaches and yeah. to be here in one city for, you know, going on year 12 of being in Nashville is something I'm really, really proud about.
Well, what's so cool, too, is, you know, I know there were a couple of punters in training camp and there was Reggie Hodges for yeah. a few weeks. But really, since they've been the Titans, this team has had Craig Hendrick and yourself.
Yeah, and Craig, you know, when I got cut week six of my second year in Denver. And, you know, I started off the season really good.
Right.
So, you know, to get that call up to the office and to get cut was it was pretty tough. And at the time, our son was, you know, 5 weeks old. So I had to come home, tell my wife, hey, I just got cut. I honestly have no idea what's going to happen next because it's week six. But I'll find out if I get picked up off waivers. And so I ended up getting picked up off waivers, came here, and first person I met was Craig. And he was on IR because yep. He tore his calf. And so to be able to talk to him and really just pick his brain about punting and the mental game and all that stuff, really, man, it helped me out a ton. And I owe him a ton of credit for really keeping me on my feet and not spiraling down into, you know, finishing that year and being done. But really to help me propel me into to really trying to be one of the best punters in the league.
So I have a friend that we do a big boys trip every year, and one of the guys, his son is a punter at Akron. He just got on scholarship after his freshman year. So what would be some advice that you have for a young punter that has the aspirations of, you know, playing in college or if they're in high school now or are trying to make it to the NFL that you could give them that has worked out for you or you've gotten along the way?
Yeah, I think, you know, trying to be as consistent as possible. You know, don't worry about going out there and trying to hit, you know, the big ball, the 5-0, 60-yard punt every time because there's honestly not one guy in the league that can do that every time. That's really hard to do. And I think the other thing that I've learned is to know yourself as a punter as far as, you know, when you hit good balls, what were you doing? When you hit something bad, being able to diagnose it really quick because in a game, you know, if I only get four punts, and let's say the first one's not my best, yep. I have to figure out, okay, what did I do wrong on that punt? Because the next time I go out there, I obviously can't do that again. So being able to self-diagnose yourself quickly and to understand where you need to make improvements so the next time you go out there, you can hit a good punt. And for me, one of the biggest things for me is having that go-to punt, that punt that you can rely on, that you've done so many times, that you've practiced so many times, that when you go out there, I can hit this punt, and I know nine out of ten times that I'm going to hit a good punt, and I know where it's going.
Do you watch a lot of film?
Of myself, yeah. Yeah, I just watch, you know, because every punter's different.
Sure.
I'm different from Sam Cook in Baltimore or Morstead in New Orleans or Hecker out in L.A. Now, I watch them to see what type of punts they're doing. A lot of them come up with different punts, you know, to kind of fool the returners. So I'll see if there's anything new that they're coming up with that maybe I could try to work to see if I want to do it or not. But I obviously watch a lot on myself just to know – because I can remember a lot of the punts. So I know, hey, this third punt in practice I didn't hit well, and I remember you know, maybe my left step was a little bit too close to my right and I crossed over. Just all that kind of lot of little details that I can remember.
You're also a holder, and so we see that this year Ryan Succop battled injury, and so he kind of went through a revolving door with kickers.
Yeah.
How hard is that of, you know, you've worked with Ryan for so long, so you know each other.
Like, right.
You know what to anticipate with him, but then you got others that are coming in trying to figure that out. How hard is it for you as the holder to know what to expect?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two guys, you know, Rob Bronis and Ryan Succop, I could probably hold for blindfolded.
Right.
Just know exactly what they need and when they need it. But, yeah, it was – at times it was a little difficult. You know, I've been with Bo Brinkley too for 8 seasons now, and you know, the timing and the rhythm that we have, we just understand each other. And so that this year, you know, working with different kickers, they have different steps, they have different keys that they go off of to when to go to kick the ball. So that took a little bit of getting used to, but thankfully, you know, I've been with Bo for such a long time that that whole element of it made it a little bit easier.
I know it had to be tough on Ryan to go through all that this year, but hopefully healthy, ready to go for another training camp.
Yeah, Ryan's one of the hardest workers I've ever met. He's always in the weight room, always in the training room, whether he's doing ab exercise. I mean, Bo and I make fun of him for it, but I mean, in all seriousness, that guy, he gets after it.
So I do a show on Friday nights called Chasing TD with Teron Davenport that covers the team for ESPN. We call you the defensive MVP a lot of times on the show. TD came up with that. But he submitted a question about the knuckleball punt and just, you know, what goes into that.
Yeah, that's something Craig Hendrick taught me. And it probably took me 2 years to feel comfortable enough to do that in the game. And that was before Aussie punters really started to do that end-over-end punt. But that ball is a little bit easier to control, so I do that a lot. But, you know, that knuckleball is great to bring out on a windy day. That thing is really, really hard to catch. And if anything, I do it more in warm-ups just so that the other returners can see, oh, man, he's got this in his arsenal. So it's always a good punt to have. Just be able to use maybe, you know, hopefully there's a young returner back there and they make a decision like, you know, I got to catch this ball, and it just makes it difficult for them. So it's a fun punt. I honestly, 95% of the time, I have no idea where it's going. but it's a good one to have in the bag.
And you, as you mentioned, you have different types of punts that you use. Another analogy that Teron always brought up, your golfer of knowing which iron to pull out of the bag, so to speak.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's different punts out there call for different types of punts. And, yeah, you could use it like golf, different, you know, you got your stinger. That was the last game against or the last punt against New England. It was kind of a little stinger punt. Yeah, there's different punts that you have, and you can kind of equate it to different types of shots in golf.
What's it like on the sideline when if you put one out inside the five at the two or something, you come running back over? I know what that group can be like. What kind of razzing do you get?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly good. You know, sometimes I think some guys are like, oh, there's Kern just being Kern. It's kind of like, oh, whatever, it's no big deal. But sometimes I feel like I just get, like, silent treatment. But it's always good to pin one deep, knowing especially the defense that we had this year, that was going to make a big impact in the game with field position.
He is Titans All-Pro punter Brett Kern here on Smashville Live. We are live at Drake's in Cool Springs. It's all presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. When we come back, we'll ask him about the Pred season, his thoughts on that, and maybe, you know, what he's done this offseason as we wrap things up. Smashville Live, ESPN, 1025 The Game. Chase McCabe alongside Titans All-Pro punter Brett Kern, all presented by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine. We're at Drake's in Cool Springs. You can find them at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard. They have a lot of daily specials today, all day $5 and $6 whiskey selections and 99-cent wings. Tomorrow, 2-4-6 beer, wine, sticks, $2 PBRs, $4 house wine, and $6 Pixie Sticks martinis. So all those great specials here at Drake's in Cool Springs. So the Preds right now, and it's fun to make comparisons. You're a big fan, obviously, keeping up with the games. And you look at your guys' season, there was a time when it was a little bit of an up and down, and that's what they have battled over the course of 66 games. But knocking on that playoff spot, and as we saw with the Titans, just get in. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's obviously that's probably their goal, is just to try, just to get in. Whether you know, you get that first or second wild card, you just got to get in. You got to give yourself a chance.
Sure.
In the tournament, and so, you know, it's crunch time. I know they got I think they still have four back-to-backs, which is tough. A lot of games in March, and really, I mean, you know, you look at their schedule, and there's really not a lot left. You know, they finished with a lot of good teams. You know, they still got the Avalanche, the Wild a couple times, and, you know, this home-and-home with
big
Dallas.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point they're all big, and so, I mean, they're a fun team to watch still. You know the potential of some of those guys. And so, you know, not every year you're going to go out there and crush it every year. But, you know, I guess the way I look at it from my standpoint is, you know, maybe your top four or five guys aren't playing to maybe their potential. But, you know, there's still time for them to find it and get to that potential. And if they do, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you get your goaltending and
right.
You get all your things kind of clicking on cylinder and you'll be good to go.
What are those conversations like in the locker room when you know there's a guy that, there for whatever reason, you know, I say with Philip Forsberg, I know what he can do. I think right now it's just in between the ears. It's just he's almost overthinking it. But if a veteran player or somebody, you know, like if you being next to the quarterbacks, if one of the quarterbacks has a bad game, you know, what are those conversations like of, hey, man, it's cool. It's just football. It's just hockey. You got to shake it off.
Yeah, I mean, you have those conversations. I mean, there's guy, you know, football's obviously a little different from hockey,
sure.
But 16 compared to 82, which is, I can't imagine that. But, you know, sometimes with football, you're thinking, man, when can I just get to the bye? When can I just get a break from football? And unfortunately, you know, hockey doesn't get that. So you really got to be able to figure that out quickly. But on the other standpoint, you're playing every other night. And so if something's off, at least you know that you can come back. You know, I mean, obviously they're on a little three-game skid, but you know what? Tomorrow night we get to play Dallas and, you know, try to work through something. Where football, I mean, you have to wait a whole week sometimes,
yeah.
To kind of get back at it. And sometimes that week feels grueling because you want to get back out there. So, you know, those conversations happen all the time. I mean, sports, you know, nobody's perfect.
Sure.
You know, I always tell my son there's one guy that walked the earth that was perfect. And, you know, nobody else is perfect. So you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have off nights. You're going to have days you feel great, days you feel bad. So, you know, as long as they can stay healthy and some of these guys can just battle through maybe whatever is going on, whether it's upstairs or, you know, I mean, you look too physically. I mean, Arvidsson, the hit that he took.
Sure.
Some of these guys might be playing hurt, but you're never, you know, they're never going to tell you that. But you don't know how that's affecting their game. So they just need to keep putting out, lacing up those skates and going at it each night that they're able to.
Have you gotten to know many of those guys at all with different interactions?
I mean, a little bit here and there. You know, our schedules are obviously a little bit different.
Sure.
But, you know, once I don't go to games during the season. That's just, you know, I'm 34 and I like to go to bed at 9 o'clock. So,
me too. And I'm 32.
This is how I am now. You know, the off season rolls around and I love to try to get to many games as I can. And, you know, the games are obviously on at our house for sure, whether I'm actually sitting down to watching them or, you know, my wife and I are putting the kids to bed. The games are on. So I love hockey's probably one of my favorite sports to watch. And I love rooting for the Preds.
So what is the off season like for you when, you know, I heard you off the air saying you don't kick for a while. So after the season's over, how do you like to spend your time during the off season?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a month off from lifting and cardio stuff just to give my body just a month of rest. Kicking, I probably won't kick till, you know, end of April, maybe first part of May, just to give my leg a good chunk of time to rest. But it's great. I mean, being able to take the kids to school, you know, pick them up. Yeah, I played golf today.
Do you play golf a lot? I know punters and kickers.
Yeah, I mean, I got a simulator in my basement, so I definitely play a lot. That's for sure. Whether it's down there, I mean, down there I could play 18 holes in a half an hour. So when you got three kids running around the house, it's nice to be able to go down there, you know, for a half hour, play 18 holes, and come back up just in time for dinner. So I just love spending time with my kids. Love spending time with my wife. Just kind of catching up on. The time that I miss with them during the season.
Do you have any cool trips planned for after, you know, mini camps and before training camp gets started?
Yeah, we have a couple. You know, we always try to go to the beach every year.
Nice.
So we got one. If I know my son, he's probably listening right now, so I can't disclose one of our trips and where we're going.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise, and so I can't. I'm not gonna blow it on air. So, but that's a big one that we're gonna do as a family. That should be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I always love traveling with the family and getting some time away.
Before we go, obviously, right now there's a lot of discussion about the next CBA and getting that.
Yeah,
you know, getting that done between the players and the league, and we've seen some things that have come out about could go to 17 games, and that's
right.
Something the commissioner has said many times that he'd like to see happen, and then also the playoffs. So, which I find that more interesting than anything, because if they expand the playoffs, then you immediately go to, okay, look back the last 5 years at the standings. The Titans would have made the playoffs a couple times because of that. From a player's point of view, as you – you know, are kept in the loop on this and get to see that. What do you think about some of the things that they're wanting to change?
Yeah, I think for me, we were talking about this. You know, for me, I play 20 games. You know,
right.
I play all four. I need those preseason games to get the timing and the rhythm down to get ready for, you know, the 16 that are coming up. So for me, 20 games is what I play. So, you know, other guys might feel a little bit differently. But I know if you do have a 17th game, there's got to be some things that are in that CBA to be able to, sorry, excuse me.
No, you're good.
I'm getting choked up. Getting emotional.
I mean, it's emotional stuff with a CBA.
Yeah, sure. No. Sorry about that.
You're good.
I think, you know, if you have 17 games, you got to have some stuff to help accommodate that. So, you know, you have 53 guys on your roster, but only 46 are active on Sunday.
Yeah.
So maybe that number could change. Maybe you can get a couple more guys.
I've never understood that. I mean, I know you have injuries. You have some guys that you're not placing on IR.
Right, right. And
you
it's usually special teams guys, too. You know, a couple, you know, offensive linemen or two. And, you know, it's kind of tough to see. You see guys practice all week, and they're not sure if they're going to play or not.
Yeah.
Are they up? Are they down? And just to kind of see them on Sunday when they're not dressed is, it's you know, it's a shame. But so I think, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, insurance-wise, you know, what is it for life after football for a lot of guys, you know, trying to take care of guys that have played this game to make their life better. So there's a lot of little things that I think could happen. If we're going to go for 17, I think that, you know, us as players should be able to get some things that we need to get done. I think there should be some, you know, some healthy compromise.
Could you ever see a day where, you know, other sports have an IR that it's like a week, and I know you only play week to week, play 16 games, but
right.
Something similar to that where they added a few years ago that you could designate two guys to return
right.
After 8 weeks, but something that's more like maybe every month or, you know, where you don't have to shut a guy down for a season if he doesn't need to be shut down for that long.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had the hockey thing where it was either upper or lower body injury. You know, you didn't have to get into quite so many details about everything. But, yeah, I mean, the whole IR thing, you know, that'd be nice. I mean, you see some guys that, you know, I look at Cameron Batson this year. You know, he got hurt in the preseason. He was out there with Logan Woodside. You know, he probably could have came back and you know, could have played. But, you know, once you go on IR, you got to go on for the whole year. So, you know, there's plenty of things that, you know, whether it's the franchise tag, transitions tag, you know, there's some stuff that, you know, our reps are trying to get taken care of, trying to get weeded out, situated out. And I think we vote on it here pretty soon. So,
well, we'll be looking forward to that. Hey, Brett, it's been a lot of fun tonight. This hour's flown by, but
quick.
It's been cool to talk to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Mix some hockey, mix some football. Again, I know you're going to be doing some things to help with tornado relief. But
I
want to throw this out there. Tomorrow from 5 to 7 on the Bridgestone Arena Plaza, we'll be taking donations for Nashville Community Resource Center. Need of the following: work gloves, trash bags, batteries, flashlights, hand sanitizer. You can come to our tent, the 102.5 The Game Tent, or our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz. The Titans donated $1 million. And also, somebody just handed me this. There's going to be a benefit show at Kimbrough's Pick and Parlor, 214 South Margin Street in Franklin on Friday, March 13th from 6 to 10. So you can go check that out as well to help. Brett, good to see you. Best
appreciate
of luck in the offseason. We'll see you before then, before the season gets
underway. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
For Brett Kern, I am Chase McCabe. Thanks to everybody here at Drake's in Cool Springs and all of our sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Stick around. Penalty Box Radio is next on ESPN.